We're gonna skate to one song, one song only.
So I ball so hard, motherfuckers wanna find me. The first niggas gotta find me. What's 50 grand to a motherfucker like me? Can you please remind me? Ball so hard, this shit crazy. Y'all don't know this, don't shit phase. And that's the go. Oh, for 82, when I look at you like this shit crazy. Ball so hard, this shit weird. We ain't even supposed to be here. Ball so hard, this we here. It's only right that we be fair. Psycho, I'm libo, to go Michael. Take your pick. Jackson, Tyson, Jordan, Game 6. Ball so hard, got a broke clock. Rollie, but don't tick tock. All the mods that losing time, hitting behind all these big rocks. Ball so hard, I'm shocked too. I'm supposed to be locked up too. You escape, but I escape. You be in Paris getting fucked up too. Ball so hard, let's get faded. Live with these for like 6 days. Gold bottles, gold models, spilling apes on my 6 J's. Ball so hard, bitch, behave. Just might let you meet, yay. Shot town.
And with the sounds of Jay-Z, we start this episode of The Roman Show at exactly roughly 10:02 on this lovely evening here in Miami, Florida, as we are prepared for mixed martial arts this weekend, guys, in Coral Gables on the University of Miami campus. Their CFA 4 will be having its great event, having great fights out there, and we're giving away free tickets tonight, so make sure you head on over to Twitter and just write, "I'm listening to The Roman Show." The tweet you got to look for is at RomanDH. Just write in there, "I'm listening to The Roman Show." Head on over to Facebook, facebook.com/RodolphoRRoman. Write, "I'm listening to The Roman Show," and you'll get a free pair of tickets to CFA this Saturday in Coral Gables. For information on CFA, head on over to CFAfights.com. Thank you very much there for George Sandoval for the opportunity to give away some free tickets. We're giving away two pair of tickets this night, this evening. Again, head on over to Twitter at RomanDH. Tweet me with the information that I just stated, which is, "I'm listening to The Roman Show." Just write that there, "I'm listening to The Roman Show." You get a free pair of tickets. All right, guys, we're giving away free tickets throughout the evening. And boy, do we have a stacked show tonight. We have John Anik, the commentator of the UFC, who was recently introduced to the UFC fans. This October, actually, he was introduced as he left ESPN for UFC. He did some work for Bellator. And he worked for ESPN.com, ESPN Radio. And he also hosted MMA Live on ESPN2. We're going to talk to him about his career as an MMA journalist and how he came about as far as getting together and linking up with the UFC. Also, we will have XFC announcer Christopher James on the line. He's going to be telling us about the XFC, a great company over there in Tampa. You can see them on HDNet. And in fact, we have Nick Newell, one of their fighters, on the Roman Show not too long ago. Also, scheduled to call in, we have some of the fighters that will fight this Saturday in CFA. And that includes Luis Palomino will be calling in, who has several titles and several promotions, and also scheduled to call in Javier Baez, who is undefeated in the MMA world. In fact, Javier Baez, I had the opportunity to present him at one of these local shows, and Javier Baez defeated his opponent recently, not too far, just about 2-3 months ago, actually, or 2 months ago. He defeated his opponent. Javier Baez was actually coming in as the underdog. His opponent had a vast majority of experience, but that wasn't it, as Javier Baez showed what he can do. And we're also going to have the Ultimate Fighter contestant, Jeremy May, on the line, who is going to be hosting an event this Sunday, at Monsters Gym or Monsters Training Center. And that is this Sunday. And he will be raising funds to help out some kids, some orphan kids, actually, in Colombia. But with that being said, I'd like to welcome briefly my co-host, Guillermo, the MMA Encyclopedia Garcia. Guillermo, how are we doing today?
Everything's great. Disappointed with my boy Machida losing this weekend, but we got a lot of great stuff coming up, especially tonight.
Yes, sir, we do. And in fact, you owe me a drink. But with that being said, let's head on over to the news.
News of the day.
All right, two more bouts are slotted for February's UFC on Fuel TV 1 event. Officials today announced they include middleweight Aaron Simpson versus Ronnie Marks and featherweight Jonathan Brookins versus Ronnie Yaya. And UFC on Fuel TV 1, which is the first UFC event to air on the Fox-owned cable station, takes place February 15th in Nebraska. Another match has been added to UFC on FX2 on March 3. This will include Thiago Alves, who will be facing Martin Kattman. The card will also feature the opening round of the flyweight tournament, which determines the first ever UFC 125-pound champion, Demetrius Johnson versus Ian McCall. Also, Joseph Benavidez versus Yoshiro Urishinanti. And also, Fabricio Verdum, well, he's returning to the octagon. The Brazilian will fight Roy Nelson in February for the UFC 143. Verdum fought for Strikeforce, so he jumped ship. And very excited about this weekend as we have Masvidal versus Melendez. Masvidal being a local fighter down here, man, for what else? Jorge Masvidal versus Gilbert Melendez. Two Hispanics going at it in Strikeforce. Also, other news, the preliminary card for next month's UFC on Fox number 2 will air live on Fuel TV. UFC on Fox 2 takes place January 28th at Chicago's United Center. And the main card will feature Phil Davis versus Rashad Evans, Mark Munoz versus Chael Sonnen, and Michael Bisping versus Damian Maya. Bellator news, three more fighters have been added to the list of confirmed participants for Bellator Fighting Championships' six-season bantamweight tournament. SureDog.com confirmed today, with sources close to fighters that Luis Nogueira, Alexis Villa, and Rodrigo Lima have all been added to the 135-pound bracket. Five fighters have now been confirmed for the tournament as the trio of newly announced participants joined Marcos Gavo and Masakutsu Uide in the tournament field. Guillermo, we have a stacked show today. We got to move on so fast. We got to be like Speedy Gonzalez tonight, man.
Yeah, absolutely. But big, big names on our show tonight, and hopefully the fans enjoy the interviews.
Hey, guys, if you have a couple of questions for our guest, head on over to Twitter at RomanDH. Tweet your question. If you or the folks out there on the chat room, head on over and type your message. One of the individuals here actually has said, can you listen through the website or by calling in? Actually, Michael, you can listen through this website right here. That's blogtalkradio.com/Rodolfo Roman. Or you can call in and you can listen to on the phone. Yes, you can. And you can listen to the program if you listen, or if you miss it, if it's too late for you. You can listen to the archive tomorrow morning on the website, and that's RodolfoRoman.com. Hey, guys, you want to sponsor the show? Head on over to your email account. Send us some information. We'll sponsor you, sponsor us, and we'll promote the heck out of your product or business. RomanDH@Yahoo.com. That's the number you need to, or email, you need to contact in order for us to promote you, and we'll definitely put you up there. And as far as the program, we are all over the world as far as Thailand, Guillermo. Do you believe that? Thailand and Vietnam and all these places? Can you believe that, man?
Doesn't surprise me. I mean, Thailand's huge for Muay Thai, and, you know, naturally it would be a huge place for MMA.
Yeah, but all the way over there, they're listening to us. My Canadian friends, my Puerto Ricanos, they're always listening to us. And, in fact, we have people in Peru que nos están escuchando esta noche. Un saludo. Y también en México lo están escuchando esta noche. Sooner or later, we're going to have to go SAP. Guillermo, so much individuals we have here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, MMA and UFC and all these other people are heading to South America. I mean, there's a huge following there, and as you could tell, they're listening to our show. You know, and like, you know, we're growing, and so is the sport, and it translates, you know.
Yes, it does. And seriously, un saludo para todos mis latinos americanos que nos están escuchando en el programa de Román, y por favor, sintonice todos los miércoles, ahora comenzando a las 10 de la noche, hora del este, aquí en Miami, Florida, donde vamos a darle un poco de las informaciones que tenemos del tema de las artes marciales mixtas. Okay, with that being said, we're going to go back to English. We're going to call in Johnny Anik right now, as he is taking some time off his busy schedule as UFC, man. They're going to have a lot of programming come next year.
Hello.
Hey, John, how are you? Welcome to the Roman Show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. How's it going?
Great, great, John. John Anik from the UFC now with my co-host also on the line, Guillermo Garcia. John, thanks for taking some time out of your busy schedule. I'm sure you're working hard, as we just read that the UFC is going to have a numerous amount of hours of programming on the Fox network, on Fuel TV, on FX. You guys are everywhere now.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty exciting, and certainly feel like I got in at the right time. And as far as Fuel TV is concerned, you know, we're really trying to turn that thing into a monster. It's a channel that has gone up 11% in terms of overall subscriptions, now is in 38 million homes, and we expect that number to continue to swell exponentially with 2,000 hours of UFC programming on Fuel in 2012. Of course, we'll have several fight nights as well on FX and also the Ultimate Fighter on FX. So it's an exciting time, and you know, we just hope that those who don't have Fuel TV will continue to haze their cable providers and switch to DirecTV. You know, I know that's what I did. You know, I had Cox, and I wanted Fuel in HD, and I made sure to switch it up to DirecTV. So do what you can, and certainly know that internally we're doing everything that we can to try to get it in as many homes as possible.
Well, John, definitely you are a big, huge fan of the sport, because when you were on ESPN, I know you fought very hard to have that MMA Live on ESPN2 that gave the sport some publicity as far as a big company and big station as ESPN is. Tell us about how you got together with Dana White, UFC, and so forth, as you did have some experience in the world of MMA, hosting MMA Live and also being with Bellator. How did this all come about, and then it led to your presentation in October?
Well, it was pretty exciting, you know, at ESPN when MMA Live began in April of 2008. We really felt like we had something. And really, a news and information show in mixed martial arts was something that really hadn't been done before. And certainly it hadn't been done, you know, from an ESPN standpoint with ESPN's graphics packages and HD cameras and anything else. So when we got that thing to ESPN2 a couple years later, May of 2010, it was really a big accomplishment. And I really think it started to gain even more traction with the MMA fans. For me, though, you know, covering MMA 1 or 2 days a week wasn't enough. You know, I am addicted like most of you and your listeners are, and I wanted to cover mixed martial arts full time. So, you know, I was in a contract year, and I was certainly hopeful that Dana White, Lorenzo Fertitta, and the UFC would be interested. And thankfully, it was the perfect storm. You know, they had a lot more programming. They had the need for a second play-by-play team. And they thought I was the right guy, so I'm very appreciative, very thankful, and now it's sort of up to me to make them, you know, look like they made the right decision. So I got a lot of work to do. You know, we've been doing practice runs, calling fights leading up to our debut, which will be January 20th. So a lot of work to be done, but it's very exciting. And, you know, when you get to ESPN as a sports broadcaster, you think you'll be there, you know, for a while. And for me, you know, I thought I would probably retire as an ESPN guy, but there was only one destination that I would have left ESPN for, you know, as I said at the press conference, and that was the UFC.
Well, it definitely shows that your heart is in a mixed martial arts. But you, like I said, you have had some experience calling some of the action for Bellator and now with the UFC. Now, can you kind of give us a hint? I know that you haven't found your partner yet as far as who's going to be calling the shots when it comes to commentating, but can you give us, I know you've mentioned that you would like to have Kenny Florin there on the side of you, but can you give us a little bit of a tease of what are people going to expect now that the UFC is going to Fox and more programming? Can we see some of the UFC Unleashed type of program? What are people going to see now?
Well, you'll certainly see UFC Unleashed. I can tell you we taped 4 new episodes in Toronto right after the weigh-ins for UFC 140, and you're going to see 4 brand new episodes in January and a lot of fights that took place in 2011. As far as my play-by-play partner, I really don't know who it's going to be. You know, Kenny Florian's in the mix, as is Stephen Bonner, as is Frank Mir, as is Rich Franklin. You know, I know Randy Couture's name has been bandied about a little bit, so I'm sort of playing the waiting game like you guys are. And, you know, it could be a revolving door of analysts, or they could give me a permanent partner. I really don't know. But I know that come January 20th in Nashville, I won't be calling the fights alone. So someone will be there with me. And, you know, the format, I think, will have some similarities, but it'll also have some differences on FX and Fuel TV. I'll probably be handling the in-cage interviews after the fight in that Joe Rogan role. You know, Joe and Mike aren't going to be with us at those shows. So, you know, there are responsibilities that both of those guys have on the broadcast and at, you know, UFC Fight Club Q&As and the weigh-ins. There's a lot that goes into it when those two guys aren't around. So you know, I think January will be a very telling month, and I think I'll have a lot more answers come the 1st of February. But it's all very exciting, and really just can't wait to get this program and going. You know, we can't wait for January 1st, and thankfully we're now only a couple weeks away.
And with so much programming that the UFC is going to offer to fans, not only the MMA fans, but do you think this is what the sport needs? More hours of programming to get the attention that it deserves?
Yeah, I think it's a good question, and I think absolutely the answer is yes. You know, for NFL fans, you know, they want to watch the NFL 24 hours a day. And I think UFC fans are the same way, and what we're doing here in 2012 and beyond is giving them many more hours of free content, you know, and I think it's just what the doctor ordered for mixed martial arts fans. Their sport is finally getting the treatment that the other major pro sports get here in the United States. You know, I'm not towing the company line when I say I believe, you know, in Dana White, I believe in this organization, and I think it will be the largest sport globally, you know, in the next 10 to 15 years. Domestically, I think there's a lot more work to be done. I think there's a lot more ignorance here in the United States about mixed martial arts, and I think the process of educating people is something that, you know, all of us as UFC employees take very seriously. But, you know, this deal with Fox is unbelievable. There's no overstating how big it is. And for me, you know, I was coming on board the UFC, whether it was G4, you know, the network didn't matter for me. I wanted to work for the UFC, and it's just the icing on the cake that they've got to deal with Fox and Fuel TV and FX. So it's very exciting, and I know for MMA fans, you know, they're excited about it, but just wait until all of a sudden, you know, you got UFC programming several nights a week. It's really going to be an exciting time for fight fans.
And with so much programming, and I know you guys just signed the contract with Fox, but with time, do you think, like the World Wrestling Entertainment just did, they're about to debut their own network. Do you think the UFC one day will reach that that point that they just need its own network?
You know, there are a lot of variables when it comes to that, and I know even having the NFL Network has been a challenge for the National Football League and ditto for Major League Baseball with the MLB Network. So, you know, it's great to have a network that you can call your own, but I think a lot of us are looking at this as a three-network deal for the UFC. I think certainly Fuel TV will become a UFC network of sorts, but there's just so much work that goes into that. And maintenance behind the scenes that, you know, I'm not going to bore your listeners with right now, but it is a tremendous undertaking. And I think for the UFC to get this deal with Fox, that's really the focus right now. Could a UFC network, you know, branded as such materialize down the line? I think absolutely, but it's certainly not the focus right now. And, you know, I don't know that it's all that necessary. I think that the fact that there's that much programming, is huge, and you'll have other programs on those networks promoting the UFC. So could it happen someday? Absolutely. I don't see it happening, you know, in the next 7 years of this Fox deal.
All right, Guillaume, we have a question for John Anik.
Yeah, John, pleasure having you on the show. And when exactly did you first discover mixed martial arts and fall in love with it?
Well, I watched UFC 1 in 1993. I mean, I remember being in high school, and it was an event. I mean, we talked about it the week leading up to it, and we all were, you know, glued to the TV that night. But then I probably didn't watch it again until – well, we watched UFC 2, but then I didn't watch it again until UFC 50, and I was a casual fan at best. You know, I was a big boxing fan and hosted a boxing radio show, and I told the story many times, but Gary Shaw, when he started Elite XC – he invited a lot of the boxing media, including our Mouthpiece Boxing Show, to come cover Elite XC's debut in Tunica, Mississippi. Frank Shamrock and Enzo Gracie were fighting in the main event. You also had KJ Nunes on the card, Gina Carano, a lot of MMA star power on that Elite XC debut, and that was my first live fight. And I know it wasn't a UFC show in the arena. You know, I think the in-arena show left a lot to be desired, but for me, that was the first time I was cage side for an MMA event, and I was hooked ever since. I don't know that I've missed a UFC event since that Elite XC debut in 07.
Wow.
And, John, also, I had a question. Like, as far as the I know we know you're doing the Ultimate Fighter and the FX shows, but are you going to be doing some of the international shows as well?
Yeah, I mean, all the fight cards that are on FX and Fuel – I will be doing. So, you know, if some of those end up in Australia and Sweden, you know, then I will be doing those shows. You know, I think the Australia show, I could be mistaken, but I believe that one's going to be on FX. So that will be one of the fights that I do the play-by-play for. It's very exciting for me. You know, I've never been to Europe even. So to be able to travel the world and you know, go to what I believe are the greatest live sporting events in the world is very exciting. So, I mean, my role is comprehensive. You know, I know Dana White said at the press conference, you know, by the middle of 2012, I'm probably going to wish I was back at ESPN. I certainly won't go that far, but it's going to be pretty crazy between, you know, potentially doing pre- and post-fight shows, filling in for Jay Glazer, doing the play-by-play, doing the Ultimate Insider show that we're going to have on Fuel TV, 40 shows in 2012. That launches in February. And, of course, UFC Unleashed. There's a lot of different components to my deal, and I'm just excited, you know, that all I'm going to be doing is the UFC and MMA. No more poker shows for me, and I'm excited about that.
Well, John, thank you so very much. I don't want to take too much time out of your busy schedule. Anything you feel free to plug in, head on over. Can people follow you? I know you're on Twitter, but do you have a web page?
Well, you can always go to UFC.com, and we're continuing to sort of update the site. We might end up having a chat, you know, not unlike what I did at ESPN.com in the not-too-distant future. A lot of exciting things planned for UFC.com in 2012. And you can always hit me up on Twitter. It's JON_ANIK, and I try to get back to 90% of the people. And if you don't have Fuel TV, just make sure you go out and get it and do what you can. And I strongly recommend DirecTV. So appreciate you guys having me on, and look forward to talking to you down the line.
No, John, thank you so very much, and we look forward to seeing you a lot on TV now.
I appreciate it, fellas. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Have a good night. Thank you so very much.
You too.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, Guillermo. Well, you heard it from John Anik of the UFC that MMA fans, get ready, because we're going to be unleashed with the fury of mixed martial arts programming on television. You got Fuel TV, don't you, Guillermo?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I've had it.
I need to jump on ship on this. I'm going to have to probably kick my cable company out of here because they unfortunately don't offer it. And,
yeah, I have Dish Network. It's on channel 398 on Dish Network for those of you that have Dish Network out there.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, it's what people need, and to get educated, it is more programming. You know, they could probably take us back to the beginning of the roots of the mixed martial arts and the UFC, how it all began, and you know, to understand something, you need to go back and see those shows to understand what mixed martial arts is all about and how it just evolutionized over the time period. But with that being said, and again, we appreciate John Anik taking some time speaking to us here on The Roman Show. But with that being said, we're going to head on over and call XFC announcer Christopher James here on The Roman Show. We got a stacked show today, sir. Stacked show today, Guillermo. Stacked show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get ready. John Anik getting ready here now.
Hello.
All right. Hey, Christopher James, how are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
All right, Chris from the XFC, along with Rodolfo Roman here, the host, and Guillermo Garcia, my co-host. Chris, thanks so much for taking some time and speaking to us here on The Roman Show.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Well, Chris, let's talk about the XFC. It's a Tampa-based mixed martial arts promotion. I've seen your programming on HDNet. Great stuff out there. We just had Nick Newell not too long ago. What a phenomenal fighter, and what a story he has. He's pretty much blew up his fight on YouTube, and it's gone viral. But let's talk about XFC. Tell us a little bit of history about XFC and how you started, because I was looking at some of your resume. You're an actor and an announcer, and yeah, you're a busy guy.
Yeah, well, the XFC got themselves together around 2006. John Prisco, the president of the XFC, and a few people. John was involved with another promotion here in Florida, but he didn't like the way that one was going. So he decided that, you know, he wanted to do some things differently in the world of mixed martial arts. And he started the XFC with some people, got a little bit of money together, you know, a little seed money to get things started. You know, and we're a grassroots promotion. So, I mean, you know, we started, you know, local, and we did our thing. First show they did was at the Dallas Bowl, a local bar here in Tampa, and from there, it's been an explosion. The next show we did was November 11, 2007 was the first show I was involved in with XFC, and we did it at the St. Pete Times Forum. We packed in a house with over 13,000 wild, screaming, crazy fans to see an MMA show. It's still a record in the state of Florida, and I'm pretty sure it's a record almost on the whole East Coast of the United States at this point.
Wow. And what is it about the XFC that sets apart from the rest of the promotions in the country and in the world?
Well, there's a lot of the promotion up there. I mean, and the way the MMA community is saying, there's a promotion popping up every single day. What the XFC strives to do is, and, the philosophy is, we are looking at the next generation of fighters, because the fighters we see today, whether they're in UFC, Strikeforce, Bellator, the fighters that you see today are all the ones that are famous and the stars, aren't even the tip of the iceberg of what the world of MMA is turning into. The first wave of that is John Jones, because he's an incredible fighter. The XFC focuses on finding the next best MMA fighter. And when we find guys like Nick Newell, in a fighter tryout, who's an amazing fighter, the fact that he has one arm doesn't mean anything to me. He's an amazing fighter, and he's 6-0. So the XFC goes out there, we have fighter tryouts, and we continue to try and strive to bring the best entertainment value in the world of mixed martial arts by providing you with high-quality, entertaining, exciting fights from top to bottom, from the opening night on the undercard to the end of the night's main event. If you look at the XFC's record and you look at our cards, you see that nobody, and I mean nobody, and I will put our cards up against anybody, does a better show. And that's, that's not just my opinion. People are telling us that now. And that's what it is. We go out there and we put great matchups together. Styles make fights. So we don't match up tomato can, and give a guy that's, help some promotion, maybe protect the fighter. We don't do that. We put tough fights together because the fans want to see tough fights. I don't want to see a one-sided fight for Adolfo. Do you?
No, absolutely not. Down here in Miami, and I'm sure since you're based out of Tampa, you possibly have come down here to South Florida and seen some fights, have you?
I've been all over the state of Florida. I've been all over watching fights, since I got involved with the XFC. And I got to tell you, man, not just because I work for them, but it's really the quality of fights from top to bottom. You don't get more bang for your buck from any other promotion. Now, granted, some people don't know the names of every single one of our fighters, but you know what? They sure are going too soon, because we're coming. We're the next big thing in MMA, so people better be watching and beware, because here we come.
And now you guys, according to one of your notes here, so you're based out of Tampa, you have shows in Tampa, and you've gone elsewhere. You've gone away from Florida too, correct?
Yeah. One of the big things we wanted to show the world is that the XFC isn't just your backyard neighborhood promotion. There are some promotions that are regional, and they never, ever leave their own backyard. There's promotions down South Florida that that are never going to do a show anywhere else. They're going to continue to be local South Florida promotions. The XFC wanted to show that we could be successful anywhere in the world. So we ventured out to Kentucky with our first out-of-town show, and we packed the Rupp Arena. We ventured to Tennessee. We were the first organization to do a sanctioned pro event in the state of Tennessee. That means we got there before the UFC. Now, there aren't going to be a lot of promotions out there that get to do anything before the UFC did it first, but we did. And we set the bar in Tennessee. The UFC went in after us. We've been to Tennessee. We have some other international shows coming up this year. And last year, we went to the beautiful Mediterranean Sea and the island of Cyprus, northern Cyprus, and we had an amazing show. Our cage was set up on the Mediterranean. So I'm in the cage announcing, and as I'm walking out of the cage, I look over my shoulder, and you just look at the beautiful water of the Mediterranean Sea.
Wow.
We were in an amazing place. They treated us like we were kings, and they loved the show. So, and the expansion is going to continue with the XFC as we move on into broader markets all across the country and all across the world.
So what do you see for the XFC in the next, say, 5 years? Do you see, because, the Bellator says we don't want to compete against the UFC. But do you guys see yourself maybe like another Bellator or what Strikeforce was at one point?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I get upset a little bit when people say, are you going to be like Bellator? Are you going to be like Strikeforce? I'm not going to be like Bellator. We're not going to be like Strikeforce. We're the XFC, and we're going to set our brand apart from everybody. And you know what? There's so many people out there that want to watch MMA, and there's so many different markets to conquer. But I will tell you this. I believe in 5 years, when people talk MMA, I don't know if anybody will ever say that anything will ever surpass UFC. UFC is the granddaddy. And I show all all the respect, because without them doing what they did here, we wouldn't be doing what we do. However, that doesn't mean that we're content on being second best. You know, I mean, maybe one day we might be the group that everybody talks about. But I believe in 5 years, Strikeforce isn't going to be talked about anymore. You know, if Strikeforce lasts another 6 months, I'm going to be honestly surprised. And Bellator, well, you know, Bellator out there is, you know, another big promotion, and they've done a great job of promoting themselves and getting their name out there. However, I see us with a better quality product than Bellator, and I see us surpassing Bellator. You know, as people talk now, you know, in the community, the promotions that Ray always mentioned, they go UFC, Strikeforce, Bellator. So that conversation is going to change, and it's going to be UFC, XFC, and then whoever else survives. And it might be XFC, UFC. You just never know.
Dion, we have a question for Chris James of the XFC.
Yes. What fighters should we be looking out for here to make a big splash with you guys here in the near future? And tell us about maybe some XFC alumni that have made it big already.
Okay. Well, first of all, if you've been paying attention, Nick Newell, he just fought for us December 2nd here in Tampa, Florida. And he's an amazing fighter. You know, people are giving him a lot of publicity and a lot of credit because he's got one arm. You know, he was born as a congenital amputee, and he just proved positive that you can do anything in the world that you want to do if you've got the heart and you've got the guts and you've got the drive. However, he's not the only guy. You know, we like to feature female fighters. We have a great, amazing fighter named Mariana Kayfetz. We discovered her in open fighter tryout. We have Felice Herring. We have Carla Esparza. We have a lot of guys. Eric Reynolds has been fighting for the XFC. We have Jamie Varner under contract with the XFC right now. Now, Jamie Varner has been a WBC world champion, but keep your eye on him because he's fighting for the XFC again in February in Knoxville, Tennessee. You know, we have so many guys on the roster. Jared Card is an amazing fighter that fights for the XFC. He's a former title holder with the XFC. We have John Malo that fights with the XFC. You know, and I don't know what your knowledge is of, you know, regional fighters in Florida or national fighters across the country, but these are names you want to keep your eye on. Jonatas Navejas just fought for us, and he fought Eric Reynolds at our last show. Now, Jonatas didn't come out of the winning end, but Jonatas is an amazing fighter, you know, and these are guys that are coming up through the ranks. You know, and I got to tell you, there's other guys that I've seen in the gyms training, and I don't remember all their names, to be quite honest with you, but these guys are hungry and they're coming your way. The best way for you to keep up with XFC and what fighters are coming your way is to always follow us on our website at officialxfc.com. You know, I can throw out a few names like I just did, and there's so many more coming up that I'm just super excited. We have Jeremy Pender, a guy out of Indiana. He was supposed to fight in this last card, and he got an injury. But he's an amazing 135 fighter. And, you know, he's got world-class skills. So, you know, you got to keep your eyes open because they're coming. You know, there's too many for me to even mention every single guy's name, and I wish I could. But we don't have 3 hours for me to sit here and talk on this show.
Well, the next event, Chris, is February 10th of this coming year, 2012. And
yep.
XFC airs on HDNet. So if you can't make it, or if you're not listening in Florida or you live elsewhere, you can catch it on HDNet, and you can watch my man Chris James in action out there as far
That's
as
correct.
calling the announcements. And Chris, where can people follow you?
I got to jump in on here. I also want to tell the people that are listening, as far as HDNet, you can always catch the live on HDNet. If you can't catch the live, they replay it usually a week after, a couple of different times. On top of that, you should always check your local regional Fox Sports Net or some other, depending on what part of the country you're in, your regional local sports networks, because the XFC is distributed all across the country. We're seen in upwards of 80 million homes after we broadcast our shows live. We cut them down and we break down their shows and the episodes and the fights, and we distribute them all across the country because the people want to see the XFC and they want to see great fights, and that's what we're about. The next great fighters coming your way when you want to see them. So even if you don't see us on HDNet, check your local listings all the time. Check our website, like I said, officialxfc.com, because that'll tell you where you can find us in your local market.
Wonderful. And that event will be taking place in Tennessee. Now, when will you be back in Tampa? Because I think Guillermo and I are going to head out over there.
Well, I'm going to tell you quite honestly, we just signed a huge deal with HDNet for 8 fights for 2012. The XFC is planning on doing probably 12 to 15 events next year in 2012. I believe we have 2 shows on our schedule in Tampa. I don't want to give you a date yet because they haven't locked it down. I don't want to give wrong and false information. So again, you know, you're going to have to follow the website, keep up with us. Like I said, you can follow us at officialxfc.com, or you can use that same address for Twitter at officialxfc. You can also follow me on Twitter at xfchost with the number one behind it. And, you know, we constantly update that here with fights and YouTube information and everything. You know, we post all our fights up and our fight schedule. You know, usually we have a posted out, you know, 2 months ahead of time so people know and can plan out, take the night off of work, send the kids to the babysitter, grab your friends, head to the arena, and watch some of the best butt-kicking MMA you guys have ever seen live.
Nice. Any chance of you coming to South Florida?
Well, you know, there are some deals that we're working on that I can't divulge where right now because of contract talks, and, you know, until it's committed, we don't ever speak of it. But I will tell you, the XFC does plan on moving down to South Florida and letting the people down south experience the XFC live. Now, if you're down in South Florida and you're listening, you want to come up here to our show, we got great ticket prices when we come back to Tampa, so you can always come up here and hang out with us. We do parties. We hang out with the fighters. We're a very, how shall I say, interactive group. We want the fans to meet the fighters. You know, we grab fans out of the stands sometimes after the shows, and we bring them into the cage to hang out with the fighters and hang out with our dance team, the Cage Dolls, who are the most beautiful women in MMA. It's an amazing experience. And if you've never done it, I'm going to tell you right now, come to an XFC show and see what the next wave of MMA is all about.
Wow, absolutely. And you guys also have a former UFC or WEC champions in there, because Jamie Farner fought for you.
Yep.
He's going to be fighting soon as well on your next card?
Yeah, Jamie Farner fought for us in October in Orlando. He fought Nate Jolly out of Tennessee, and they beat him in the first round. Jamie Farner will be fighting on our next card February 10th in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I can't wait. You know, he's a former WEC champ. The guy's got skills, and he's making his way through the ranks, you know. Also, I didn't answer the question, and I apologize for the guy that asked, about the fighters that have come through the XFC that have moved on, you know, maybe got to the UFC. I do want to say one thing to those people. When you say moved on to the big league or something, we are the big leagues. We are a professional MMA organization. So if a fighter moves from us to another organization, I don't necessarily consider that he moved to the big leagues, because we're professional. You know, moving to the big leagues means you came from an amateur show. You know, it's like being minor league baseball to major league baseball. And we're not the minor leagues. We're the big leagues too. So, but I will say some of our fighters, Ovin St. Peru fought for us in Tennessee a couple of different times. He knocked out C.C. Turner with an amazing leg kick. And then he pulled out an amazing calf crush, which you don't see anymore, on Abe Mobley at another XFC show in Tennessee. Ovin St. Peru is now fighting for Strikeforce, which, of course, is under the UFC umbrella. And he's been fighting, and he's beating the crap out of everybody in Strikeforce. But we put him on our card and put him on TV first with the XFC. And from there, his career has completely jumped and boomed and blossomed. So he's fighting, coming up.
Saturday.
Yeah, who's he fighting? Gregor Mousasi, right? You know, I mean,
fighting Gregor Mousasi, that's right.
Yeah, that's a big fight, you know, and that's one of our veterans. Rafael Oliveira fought for us, and he's a UFC veteran now. I think 3 or 4 different UFC fights. Again, we found him in Tennessee, and, you know, we just keep moving up and moving on, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, man. You know, some of these fighters that, you know, people go, you know, they're not mean anything to move up to the UFC. I don't buy that garbage. I'm telling you right now, fighters fight for us because we put them on a big stage, give them the exposure that they deserve, and they fight for the UFC. So you're going to see the fighters that come through that are the champions and the tough fighters from the UFC. You're not going to see them leaving from us to go to another organization because we take care of our fighters. You're going to see them sticking around and making a name for themselves and becoming household names, just like these guys in the UFC.
Well, Chris, thank you so very much for taking time off your busy schedule. Follow man Christopher James on Facebook or head on over to the website officialxfc.com. Check them on HDNet. Their next event will be February 10th, 2012, and we'll be in contact. And Guillermo and I will be definitely going out to one of your shows soon. We'll be in contact.
All right, well, listen, you guys come up to Tampa for one of our shows, and we'll definitely take good care of you. Come on down, and I'll treat you to a party time in Tampa. I'll take you to my favorite pizza place, too. We'll do some Brooklyn-style pizza in Florida, because you can't do that anywhere. But I do want to say this before I jump off.
Sure.
Thank you for having us on, and I appreciate, you know, taking the time. And also, I want to thank you for putting Nick Jewell on the show and giving us the publicity that he deserves as a fighter, because the guy is 6-0. He's the real deal. He's legitimate. And, you know, on behalf of everybody from the XFC, for there that are listening that have shown support. We definitely appreciate you, and we're proud to be your favorite MMA organization.
Thank you so very much, Chris, and we appreciate it. We'll be in contact, and you're always welcome here on the Roman Show, sir.
Hey, Roman, thanks for having me on, man. I love the show. Keep it going, brother. And I just got to say one thing, man. It's XFC, baby, all the way. OfficialXFC.com. We'll see you soon, man.
Thank you so very much. Have a good night. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye.
Thank you. All right, well, that being said, Guillermo, we just got to keep moving on here like a freight train. From then on, from the XFC all the way in Tampa, we move back down to Miami as CFA will be holding an event this Saturday, and we're giving away free tickets. Head on over to Twitter at RomanDH and tweet, "I'm listening to the Roman Show," and I'll give you a pair of tickets to the big show. One of the fighters is on the line right now. He will be competing this Saturday, and this is my man, Luis Baboon Palomino. Luis, how are you, my man? Sorry to keep you waiting.
Nah, it's cool, man. How you doing, brother? Thanks for having me in the show.
Yes, sir. Luis, thank you so very much. And Luis, you know, I was, when I heard the news who your opponent's going to be, I was like, man, this is a great fight. And we're talking about Charles Crazy Horse Bennett. That's going to be your opponent. It wasn't advertised until, in fact, I just heard about it, I believe, this week or late last week. Did you have someone else scheduled to fight?
Yeah, I was scheduled to fight Jay Hess, but he ended up dropping out of the fight, and George Delanoa, you know, being one of the best promoters in Florida, ended up pulling out this fight against Crazy Horse, which to me is a bigger interest to fight this guy, man. I was supposed to fight him before. The guy's known around the world. He's fighting Japan in some of the biggest shows, you know, and, you know, it's going to be a great fight for me.
And now you are a champion there in the CFA, and you hold championships all over for G-Force and all these other promotions. Now,
yeah, at the moment, I hold four titles. I have two in the lightweight division and two in the featherweight division.
And, in fact, you're the first Latino to win, to hold so many titles in the world of mixed martial arts.
Yeah, that I know of. I'm the first Latino, especially, to have four titles. I have the 145-pound title in CFA, and right now, like, I'm not thinking about dropping to 45. I'm going to stick around 155 at the moment.
So you're not going to be putting the belt on the line this time around against Crazy Horse?
Well, honestly speaking, we have somebody from my team, Danny Chavez. He will be fighting the same night, mm-hmm. and he's going to be advanced to the semifinals this Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and we believe that he's gonna win this tournament, and he's gonna take it, man. I'm gonna go ahead and present my little brother the belt, you know, when he takes it. And I'm not planning on dropping to 145 anytime soon.
Right. Now, Luis, tell me about your competition against Crazy Horse. Crazy Horse being crazy inside the cage, but this man, you don't know what to expect from him. You know, on top of the game, this man has been on Elite XC. He's been all over the world, as you said. How are you preparing against Charles Bennett?
Well, he's a brawler, man. He's a natural born brawler. He's southpaw. Very simple, man. I've been training a lot of my boxing. He's very sloppy. He does have power, which makes him dangerous. And he's very experienced. He has over 55 fights, I think it is. And I mean, I'm well prepared for guys like this, man. I mean, I'm a brawler myself. I think it's gonna be a great show, bro.
Great, Guillermo. We have a question for Luis Palomino, who will be fighting this Saturday for CFA.
Yeah, Luis, I've always enjoyed your fights very much. Now, what are your future goals here in the next coming year or two? Are you looking to go into the UFC, going to Bellator? What are you looking for the future?
Well, in this next year, I just finished signing an exclusive deal with CFA. I have a six-fight deal with them right now. And we're just planning on fighting, you know, keep his name that we can bring to the show. So we're starting out with Charles Burnett. We're going to take him out this Saturday, and then we're moving on to supposedly the number one ranked fighter in Florida, which is Mekhi Miller. I personally asked for that fight because I was number one on the featherweights, and something happened. They swapped our name, so since they you know, somebody went ahead and swapped the name, I want to prove who's the number one. So I have to get next to February. Right now, you know, I have six fights with CFA, and the deal is to fight the biggest names out there that they can bring.
And by the way, Go ahead.
Yeah, injuries aside, like, how many times do you expect to fight in 2012?
Is this it?
If you don't get injured, how many times do you expect to fight in the year 2012? Three, four, five times? How many times?
Yeah, I'm planning on doing all three fights next year. If I do a different this year, the next five fights will be finished next year. You know, hopefully, if, you know, you got lots of no injuries.
And now you have an exclusive contract with CFA, but does that mean that you can fight out of Florida, or you just got to fight for them?
Yeah, that means I will be fighting only with them wherever they go. And the next eight shows, I think, is going to be in Florida, so I will be fighting at home for the next six fights.
Okay. And Luis, tell me about the training with the MMA Masters, because I seen you a couple of times over there in action. I traveled with you guys, with Cesar Carneiro and Valverde, and you guys have top names. Guys who fight for the UFC, like Anderson Silva, go out there and train in MMA Masters. Tell me about the experience out there and what sets you apart from the other training facilities out here in South Florida that have made a name for themselves as well.
Well, you know, comparing ourselves like to the biggest and oldest team in Florida, which is America's top team.
Yeah,
we're doing great, man. I mean, I beat three of them in a row. You know, I started fighting, you know, against them, and I beat three of them in a row, you know. And the coaches that we have, man, are world class. Sensei Dan Valverde is black belt judo, black belt jiu-jitsu, champion, world champion. Also, Sensei has made one of the best fighters from Chicago coming to train with us. They're fighting UFC like Ricardo Lamas. We've had more than a couple of big names come to the gym, man, and stick around, actually.
And Luis, tell me, because I remember traveling with you in Michigan earlier this year. And one thing about you is, out here locally, a lot of people know you, but just not here in Miami, over there in Peru, where your parents are from, or where you were born, actually, people follow you like crazy over there. In fact, I have one of these videos posted up of me interviewing you on YouTube, and they reach out to you, and they want to know about you over there in Peru.
Yeah, actually, they've seen, thanks to G-Force, they've seen a couple of my fights with G-Force, especially like the one in Michigan that we did that I fought on and I put the belt, the 155-pound belt.
Yeah.
And, you know, thanks to G-Force, they've seen my fights out there, and they've heard of me, and they follow me. And I also have a brother that fights out there in Inca FC. And, yeah, man, in the future, I will be fighting there, hopefully.
That's right. I remember talking to you once, that's your dream, to one day fight over there. For the Peruvian in Peru.
Of course. Yes, of course. Return home with a fight. It would be great.
Graham, we have another question for Luis.
Yes, Luis, what's your strategy against Charles Crazy Horse Benner? Are you going to just brawl with him, or are you going to try to take him down and submit him? What's your strategy?
No, I'm planning on brawling with him, man. I believe I have the better skills. I have just as heavy or heavier hands than him. And you know, he's a lot more snappy, man. You know, he's going to slip on me. I'm a lot faster. I think I'm more educated in the MMA game. So, yeah, we're talking about ground and wrestling. Forget about it. You know, he has no chance against me. But trading, I mean, Charles Crazy Horse Brandon is known for trading, for knocking people out. If I want to win against this guy, man, I want to do it with fashion. I want to do it with a knockout. And I haven't had me a knockout in a couple of last fights. I don't like decisions, and this one's going to be a knockout. Even if I have to get one in, it's going to have to be a knockout.
Great, Luis. Well, Luis, good luck this Saturday. Where can people follow you? Are you on Twitter?
No, I haven't started a Twitter account yet, actually. Facebook.
But you're
Luis
on Facebook.
Palomino, yeah.
Okay, so follow him, man, Luis Palomino, and check him out this Saturday. In fact, we're giving away free tickets. Head on over to Twitter at RomanDH or on Facebook, facebook.com/Rodolfo. All Roman, and we'll give you a pair of tickets to go see my man Luis Palomino against Charles Crazy Horse Bennett. I'm really excited for that fight. I know both of you guys are going to go ham, as Jay-Z said, because I know you always bring in Luis and Charles. Well, Charles is Charles, man. He's always an exciting fighter. So I'm really excited, and I know both of you guys are going to bring the fireworks over there on the campus of University of Miami, Luis.
Yeah, that's for sure, man. Somebody's going to get knocked out Saturday night.
And Luis, give me a shout out to all those people in Spanish, a los peruanos que nos escuchan, los mexicanos, los puertorriqueños. Dale un saludo a toda la gente. Y si se encuentra en Miami y no me entienden en inglés, pues dile que por qué deben de verte este sábado en CFA número 4 en Coral Gables.
Bueno, no se pierdan la pelea porque va a ser bien pesadita. Alguien va a salir durmiendo o una camilla de emergencia.
Bueno, Luis, thank you so very much, my man. Follow Luis Palomino on Facebook, and we'll see you this Saturday, Luis, in action.
All right, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so very much, Luis. All right, with that, Guillermo, being said, we're going to head on over to shortly, but sooner or later, we're going to have another guest, and that's Javi Baez on the Roman Show. Guillermo, I think we've broken the record as far as the most guests on the Roman Show so far, Guillermo. We've had three.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not only the type of, I mean, it's the type of guests that we have as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, big names, John Anik, Luis Palomino, the guy from the XFC, you know, huge names here in the sport, not only locally but nationally.
And that just tells you how much of credibility and respect that these individuals have for the Roman Show. And we really truly appreciate that, guys, for calling in. Take your time. And it's a little late now, but guys, thank you so very much. And we have actually a new listener here, Guillermo, that would like to give a shout out. The person actually, she's on the chat room, Miss Tap Out Team. I don't know her name, her actual name, but she is on the chat room. Thank you so very much for joining us, and please make sure to tell your friends on Facebook or Twitter or Google Plus to listen to the show whenever you have an opportunity. We really truly appreciate that. With that being said, let's head over to Collier. Collier, you're on the Roman Show, or is this Javier Baez?
Yeah, Javier Baez.
Javier, how you doing? See, I figured I had the number out here. Javi Baez, who also will be fighting on CFA this weekend. Let me tell you a story about Javi Baez, because he knows me, I know him. And I had the opportunity of calling one of his fights at one of the amateur leagues. And Javi, I saw you from the amateur leagues to the pro leagues. And your first professional MMA fight, you fought a man who had over 30 years of experience in combat fighting. In fact, he was a great fighter in the Muay Thai area. But you came ahead, and boy, did you release a fury of punches on this man. You came in as the underdog, but you came out looking like a G, as they say in the rap game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what can I say? You know, I like being an underdog. I appreciate it. You know, I like it. It makes me hungry. It makes me want to fight harder, you know. I believe I'm coming in the underdog in this fight as well, you know, and I like that. I don't mind.
Now, the card that we're looking at here, and correct me if I'm wrong, it says here you're fighting Gabriel Verona, but that's not true, right? You're fighting someone else, or is this a person you're fighting?
No, I'm fighting Verona, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, because I know there was an issue. They were trying to find you a fighter, but Gabriel Verona, that's who you're going to be fighting. In fact, we had Gabriel. I think we had him, about last month, Guillermo? We had Gabriel on the line?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. So tell me about Gabriel. Gabriel actually lost his last fight, and I guess it was actually against a person. I remember it was a guy from MMA Masters, if I'm correct.
Yeah, he fought one of my teammates at 155, Victor Delgado.
Yeah, so how are you preparing against Gabriel? Because Gabriel seems to be of a brawler in the stand-up game, and you're more of a wrestling type of guy. So what can we expect from you, Javier?
I mean, I would rather say I'm a wrestler. I like to say I'm really well-rounded. But the way I prepare, you know, I prepare the same way if I was fighting Dominic Cruz, really, like, everywhere, stand-up, ground, everywhere. Like, I'm coming at him. He's going to come at me brawling. I mean, I'm just going to move and hit him and take him down if he lets me. And I'm just going to play my cards right and just strategy.
And now, I spoke to you in the training facility, and you were looking for a fight. How did this whole CFA fight come about, Javier?
Well, we were just training one day, and his opponent at 155 got hurt, and he was looking for a fit opponent at 155, and I wanted to fight, and I told him, look, man, I'm a 35er, but I'll meet you at 45, and you know, he jumped to the chance, so he took it.
So he was all for it. Hey, Javi, let's take
a couple of
calls here on the line. Maybe they have a question for you. Caller, you're on the air with the Roman Show. You have a question for Javi or Guillermo or myself here on the show.
Hey, Rodolfo, it's Elian Rodriguez.
How are you, my man?
Hey, man, I'm just calling here to give you my support to the show, and I'll be judging on Saturday. Hopefully it's a great show. That's basically Miami's greatest show.
Oh, great. My pleasure. And, yeah, definitely. CFA 4 is going to be a fireworks in person, to be exact. And as you've heard, we had Luis Palomino and now Javi Baez on the line. You have a question for Javi?
No. You know already, so don't worry about it.
All righty. Well, thanks so much for calling and keep listening.
I can't really comment about because, you know, I'm one of the judges for the
I know,
I'm looking forward for the show, and I just basically want to call you and give you my support to your show, okay?
Oh, thank you so very much, my man. Thank you very much. And
hey, what time is it, brother?
We can't use that anymore, but we're coming up with a news catchphrase. Don't worry about that. I got you covered.
That'll be good. I see you on Saturday, okay?
Thank you so very much. We'll see you Saturday. Thank you. And with that being said, we're gonna have to another caller, Javi. Caller, you're on the air on the Roman Show. What's your name? Caller? All right, let's go to another one, Abby. Caller, you're on the Roman Show. May I have your name? Caller, are you there? All right, well, Abby, this Saturday, as you're preparing for this, have you been cutting some weight or you're good as far as the weight when it comes to that?
I mean, I'm actually under, really. I'm trying to keep my weight up. That's really the hard part.
Wow. So you're on. You know, I remember when I was in wrestling, it was difficult for me. Just like your case, because I was under. I used to fight wrestle at 215.
Yeah,
and
I fight 35, and you know that's okay to cut to there. But when I'm with 45, 50, that's what I walk around now. You know, when I train hard, getting ready for a fight, I'm usually at 43, 42. You know, so I'm trying to keep my weight up. But I have no problem studying. I'll be fine.
I hear you. You know, because like I said, when I was in wrestling, I wrestled at 215, but I weighed 189, so I was supposed to wrestle at the 189. So making weight, you got to be about 3 pounds over the other weight class that's above that. So I remember the coach telling me, go drink water before you hit the weight, before you hit the scale. So many people think it's hard cutting weight, but making the weight to be at least allowed to fight in that weight class is I think it's twice as difficult because you got to go out and probably eat a cow to make that weight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I can make the weight going and eating horrible, but I'm not eating horrible. I'm trying to eat healthy, you know? A lot, but healthy rather.
And with that being said, I mean, as a fighter, you know, and we all get temptations, it's normal. Do you, like, sometimes you're in Burger King or you get the smell and or us being Latinos, you're like, oh, gosh, I want to hear some carne asada. Do you?
Oh, no doubt, man, no doubt. Yeah, I wish right now I had a burger or not go eat some lechon. You know, I try to stick to, like, 2 weeks off from the fight, a lot of veggies, fruits, and fish and chicken.
So you try to definitely cut as lean as you could for the fight week?
In the fight week, the 2 weeks of the fight, I try to take out all red meat and just all, you know, because it slows you down.
Uh-huh. And when it comes to the actual weighing, as soon as you weigh in, you just go pretty much and eat anything you want.
No, I mean, I still can't eat red meat. I can't eat junk. I still got to eat, like, good stuff. I can eat a lot of it, a lot more carbs, whatever, but I can't eat the red meat. That really, it slows you down and weighs you down. That's the problem.
Gotcha. Guillermo, you have a question for Javi Baez?
Yeah, Javi, like, before a fight, like, you know, maybe an hour before the fight, do you feel any nerves? And once you get in that cage, do you hear the crowd while you're in the cage, or is it like a tunnel and you don't sense anything? What's it like for you?
I mean, yeah, nervous, all that, nervous, you know, excited. It's a lot of emotions at the same time. But once you're in there, once that bell rings, honestly, the only thing you really hear is and barely sometimes, is your corner. And the crowd really doesn't bother me at all.
And you have a lot of family members going out there this Saturday to go support you out there?
I got a couple, a lot of fans. Between me and Danny Chavez and Luis Baboon Palomino, we ended up selling like over 100 tickets.
Wow. Now let me tell you this, Javi, knowing that I announced your name out there in one of the amateur, when you jumped ship from the amateur, because you didn't, you pretty much, I think you had 3 fights, and then you jumped to the pro game.
Yeah.
Were you just ready? How did that come about? How did you decide to make that jump with 3 fights in the amateur area, and then you went pro? How did that come about, and what made you go to that decision?
I mean, well, I had 2 kickboxings from, like, a long time ago, like 2 years ago before I did the amateurs, and then the Florida law came in where you have to do at least 5. Mm-hmm. So I had to get 3 out of the way. I was ready to go pro, but I had to get those 3 out of the way.
And when you jumped ship and you went pro, Were you at any time nervous, or you just took this? Because remember, it's a big difference when you come from amateur to pro. You're no longer shin. Yeah, you don't have any shin protection. You're not having any headgear or other protections that you wear. So how did you prepare for this one now that this is for real? This is the real deal when you came out. This is the major leagues. Mentally, how did you prepare?
I mean, really, you know, just the team I train with, man. I train with a bunch of monsters, man. Luis Palomino, Frank the Tank, John Kelly, Bebe. I mean, with the guys I train with and with the corners I have, my coach, Daniel Valverde and Master Cesar Canedio, I mean, they mentally they make you feel so good.
Gotcha. And when it comes to mental training, Javi, take us in exactly what you do, because the training portion is one thing. You know, you can go and spar the heck out of yourself. But what do you do mentally? And do you do some sort of meditation, or what exactly do you go through to prepare for this fight mentally?
I mean, I really, you know, I have my times here and there. I pop my iPod on and just listen to my music and just zone out and just think about it, focus in a positive manner, like, you know, me winning, me doing great, and just try not to let, you know, the anything make me nervous or rather, you know. Yeah, just try to be myself, really, just be humble and relax, you know. The best thing is to relax, and not too relaxed, but, you know, relax and aware and just, you know, mentally tell yourself, you know, I do this. This is what I do every day, just another day in the office.
Gotcha. Well, Javi, thanks so much, man, for calling in. We're going to let you know. I know you need to get your rest as you prepare for this Saturday's fight. And I know you're going to be weighing in. You're going to be weighing in, in 20-something, almost 30, some 40 hours or something like that. So we wish you good luck for this Saturday. And we'll see you in action. Check out my man, Javi Baez, also Luis Palomino, in action at CFA 4 this Saturday at the University of Miami campus. That's at the Bank United Center, if I'm correct. Hopefully I'm reading that right. And check them out. We're giving away free tickets, guys. Free tickets to CFA 4. All you got to do is head on Twitter at RomanDH and tweet, "I listen to The Roman Show," and we'll go ahead and give you a pair of tickets. Follow also Javi Baez. He's on Facebook, right? Javi Baez?
Yes, sir.
On Facebook?
Javi Baez.
You got a Twitter as well?
No, I don't. I have to get on that.
You guys got to jump board on Twitter. It's what's popping. I got to slap myself on the wrist because I'm not on Google Plus. That's the next big thing to jump on.
I got to definitely upgrade.
You definitely do. Hey, Javi, man, a pleasure to have you here. Good luck this Saturday. We'll see you in action, all right, man?
I appreciate it, brother. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Javi. All right, with that being said, Guillermo, I think we have some callers here on the line. Caller on the On the Roman Show, you have a question for Guillermo or myself? Caller, you're on the air. All right, maybe he's just listening in. All right, caller, you're on the air on the Roman Show. You have a question for us. Caller, you're on the air. Caller? I guess it's just tuning in. Well, with that being said, Guillermo, we have four guests so far. I think we just broke the record as far as guests that we had so far today on the Roman Show. In fact, we haven't even had a chance to discuss what happened with Lyoto Machida and John Jones. And you still owe me a drink, by the way.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. Unfortunately, my boy lost. You know, he did a lot of the things that I said he would do. A lot of people were discounting Machida's stand-up, saying that Jones's reach would kill him. But he proved us. You know, he actually proved the majority of the people wrong. Like I said, technique will always trump down, you know, any sort of reach advantage. And Machida showed that the stand-up portion, like, he definitely had the upper hand on Jones. Had that fight been a five-round stand-up fight, there's no doubt in my mind that Machida would have at least won a decision. I also mentioned that Machida, if he gets taken down to the ground, would be able to get up rather quickly, and he was able to do that. Unfortunately, he took a big elbow in the process of getting up, which really changed the course of the fight. But I underestimated John Jones' submission abilities. He was able to submit Lyoto. It was very impressive on his part, and he pulled out the victory.
And by the way, Gary, before we continue to proceed more talk about the UFC, I want to give a shout-out to Ray Avon. He is sponsoring a bunch of fighters at the CFA 4 fight, including Mike Rio. Head on over, check out their merchandise at shopkwy.com. That's shopkwy.com. This guy has really cool shirts. It has sort of like an Asian touch to it. The clothing itself, the texture itself is good quality. It's not like one of these you know, cheap branded T-shirts that you buy that you pay $25 for, and then they're pretty much done and over with after you wash them for the first time. So head on over to shopkwy.com. Check them out. Buy a couple of shirts. Wear it for the show at TFA number 4 this Saturday. And check out my man Ray on Facebook. That's Ray Avon. Or head on over to the website shopkwy.com. And check us on our website, RodolphoRoman.com. Check out the website there. If you happen to miss this, all the interviews we have with John Anik and Chris James from the XFC, Luis Palomino, Javi Baez, and so much. So head on over to the website, RodolphoRoman.com, if you happen to miss it. And Guillermo, this Sunday, I mean, we're stacked over here when it comes to MMA. This Sunday, I happen to have the opportunity, and we will be contacting him in just a few minutes, had the opportunity to speak to UFC's The Ultimate Fighter contestant, Jeremy May. Guillermo, you being the MMA encyclopedia. And by the way, we got to follow you, Guillermo, on Twitter. That's at Stoneface16. You might remember Jeremy May. He was on The Ultimate Fighter season number 7. And Jeremy May, Guillermo, you remember him, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. He made it to the semifinals, actually, of the tournament that year. And he's gone on to have, a journeyman-type career. He was over in shark fighting championships, for example, fighting over in Texas. And he's been traveling around a lot, fighting in different promotions.
Yes, sir. Well, he is not only fighting, but he is also helping. He's extending his hand to his parents, or his father's, actually, native land of Colombia. Jeremy May will be hosting a mixed martial arts seminar this Sunday from noon to 2 p.m. at Monsters Training Center. The address there, it's in Miami, Florida, by the way, 4190 Southwest 74th Court. That's 4190 Southwest 74th Court. If you need any information, just call 305-515-4273. $40 will get you a two-hour seminar with a man, Jeremy May himself. All the proceeds will be donated to this orphanage in Colombia. It is the Promised Land Orphanage in Colombia. It's actually located in Pereira, Colombia. And he was telling me about the wool orphanage over there. They got the kitchen roof falling down. And Jeremy May, mind you, he donates all of his sponsorships to the orphanage. And so with his fighting paycheck, he donates a couple of proceeds, some sort of a percentage to these kids, because he told me himself, these kids are, you know, I'm like a father to these kids. So Jeremy May doing a good deed there for these kids over there in Colombia. And there are just horrendous stories that his father actually was telling me about, one being the one child, actually, all of his parents were killed by the guerrillas over there in Colombia. And some of the parents actually, they disowned their children. One, because they decided the mother to either go into prostitution, or the father decided to be in the whole drug world or the drug business. So very, very, very stuff, touching stuff that Jeremy May is doing out there to help these kids. And it's nice to hear that for once, aside from awe of this fighting and this, the stuff that goes inside the cage, that guys like this, like Jeremy May, has an opportunity to basically use what he knows to help these kids, Guillermo. And that's good. And not only, it puts a positive light on the fight game, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is not the first time that, you know, fighters have gone out of their way to help out various charities. I mean, we just saw it recently, like with the Dan Miller Foundation, with helping out his kid who's got all sorts of medical problems with his kidneys and stuff. You know, people in the MMA community step up. Other fighters, fans, even the UFC pitches in money to help out. And it shows that these guys are not just these, crooked animals who like to kill people in the cage. That's not what they are. These guys are human beings. They're family people. They come from all sorts of backgrounds. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're human beings, and they take care of each other and people who can help themselves. And it's a really a tribute to the sport and to the great guys that are a part of it.
And by the way, one more shout out again. Check out the shopkwy.com. Check out their merchandise. Shout out to my man Ray Avon. Make sure when you holler at him or you find him on Facebook or on the website, make sure that you mention that you listen to it on The Roman Show. With that being said, let's go ahead and call Jeremy May, who's going to talk to us real briefly about the seminar that's going to take place this Sunday at the Monstrous Training Facility. A good deed coming from Jeremy May.
Hello.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you? Welcome to The Roman Show, my man.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. Thank you so very much, Jeremy. We're doing well. Guillermo and myself, Jeremy, I had the opportunity to interview you for an article for the Miami Herald, and now I'm here interviewing you on the Roman Show. First and foremost, I was just kind of basically explaining to the folks listening to us as far as some of the horrifying tales that these kids, that some of them have gone through. And boy, tell me, take the listeners exactly what happened at this orphanage, May, and what these people are going through.
Well, as a lot of people know, Colombia seems fair share of political corruptness, drug wars and stuff like that. There's a lot of kids that, I mean, one of our older kids, he doesn't have any of his family left. He's got scars, machete scars through his stomach, where he was basically just left for dead after guerrillas went through his village and just pretty much killed off everybody. So a lot of our other kids, they're victims, you know, like prostitution and stuff like that. So getting them off the streets and actually giving them a place to grow up and be raised around love and caring and, you know, taught good morals is our, you know, our mission for these kids. And it gives them an opportunity to get out of the drug scene. And, you know, they're not being used as mules or sex slaves and stuff like that. So our work, I mean, is insignificant as it seems to some people. Like, I just did a fundraiser not too long ago here in the States, and people are like, well, why aren't you helping in the States? I'm like, well, this is just kind of fell into my lap. I mean, as long as I'm helping, as insignificant as it might seem to some people, it's important for the future of the, you know, the kids and future of the world and well-being in my book.
And I want to make sure that people understand what you mean by falling into your lap is because of your father, who's a pastor. And I spoke to him. He said that when he left his native country of Colombia, that he will one day return to help his people. And he says that because it was kind of like a calling to him, and he found out through a friend about this orphanage over there in Colombia, and then you just decided to help these guys out. Now, you've been helping them out for about roughly 6 to 7 years over there, and how has your family's help changed the ambience over there in this orphanage, Jeremy?
I mean, my sister, for example, my sister, I just took my sister down. She's going to be down there till January 20th. She's down there just to help out and spend time with the kids. It's so important that they get outside, you know, people to come visit them and just help with the morale and everything, like put a smile on their faces, help, you know, because they are all alone on the hills of Pereira, Colombia, and it gets lonesome there sometimes. So having outsiders come in and just give them, you know, makes them feel like, hey, we're not forgotten. And, you know, as far as like financially, we take care of them. We've since we've been there, we've built a boys' dorm, and also, you know, a greenhouse and stuff like that to try to help them be more self-sufficient and be able to take care of, like, their basic necessities on their own.
And Jeremy, can you tell us about the seminar? What can people do? It's $40, but all proceeds go to the orphanage over there. Tell us about, as far as exactly what are you going to be teaching to these guys?
The seminar is just I'm going to be teaching different MMA techniques, different stuff. A lot of people that train with me, if they train with me, I've got kind of weird style of jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai. I use my length and my reach and everything to my advantage a lot of times. So there's a few different personal, like, like signature moves that I'll be showing people, and we've given some names, so I'll be exploiting those so people can start using them and maybe start catching me in the same submissions and little tricks.
Gotcha. And Jeremy, let's open up the phone line. Maybe we'll have some callers here that might want to ask you a question. Caller, you're on the air here with Jeremy May and Guillermo Garcia and Rodolfo Roman. You have a question for Jeremy May? Caller, you're on the air. All right, let's go to another person here. All righty. Caller, you're on the air with the Roman Show. You have a question for Jeremy May? Hello? All right, I guess it's funny. I hear them typing. Yet they don't answer. I guess they're just a little shy when not. But Jeremy, people could check out your website too if they can't make it to the seminar, if they're listening to us elsewhere aside, maybe not here in Florida. Where can they visit? I know you have a website.
I've got a website. It's www.meetmeinthecage.com. I've got a bio and a link there for donations for the orphanage. I'm planning a trip. The whole purpose of this seminar that I'm doing is I'm planning a trip February 11th through the 25th, and I'll be going down there to replace the roof on our kitchen. With the government holds, as funny as it is, we receive no funding from the government, but the government has strict codes and stuff that we have to uphold as far as like our staff members and you know repairs and stuff and buildings meeting. Their inspections, and I need to replace the roof on our kitchen and dining area. So the money that I'm raising, I've got to raise at least $25,000 to get the materials. And we go down there, replace the roof, and spend a couple weeks with the kids down there working. So that's the main goal of this seminar and this fundraising.
Jeremy, I briefly explained to you how you pretty much found out about this orphanage, but why don't you go ahead and answer the question here for Ms. Tap Out Team, how exactly you started helping out with this orphanage?
It's been, like I said, it's been about 6-7 years. My dad, it's a long story how we actually got in touch with the orphanage, but my dad called me, and I'm the kind of person that I like to see people smile, I like to make people happy. And I love to help. There's anything, I mean, I've, you know, growing up, like, my parents, we go to Mexico when I was a kid and build houses for, you know, homeless people there. And that's just something I've always enjoyed doing. I've had the rare opportunity of learning that how much of a reward it is to actually give to people as much as possible. So, you know, with that being said, my dad knowing that that's kind of the way I am, and I mean, I'm the kind of guy I pick up hitchhikers, as unsafe as that might be. But I've never had any close calls. I've given people 3-hour rides sometimes just to get them where they need to go. But my dad knowing that's the way I am, that's what my dad was saying. He's my right hand man. Whenever you talk to him, he just asked me, hey, you know, can you help us out with this? And ever since my dad heard about it, got involved, I've made it my mission to help out as much as possible and make sure the kids are fed, taken care of, clothed, and can get to school.
Gotcha. All right, let's take one call here. Caller, you're on the air with Jeremy May, Guillermo Garcia, and Rodolfo Roman. Caller?
Hello?
Another one. Oh, wait a minute. Caller, you're on the air on the Roman Show. You're there? Caller. I guess I'm going to take another phone call here. Caller, you're on the Roman Show.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the Roman Show. You have a question for Jeremy May, Guillermo Garcia, or myself, Rodolfo Roman?
I do have a couple questions for Jeremy. My
Go
name
ahead.
Is Andrea Fuovai. I'm the owner of the Miss Tap Out Team. I was commenting in the little queue there.
Oh, cool.
I know that you, Jeremy, that you have been in this in this charity with the orphanage for about 6 years, correct?
Yes.
How did you come across this specific orphanage?
This specific one, actually, like I was saying, it's kind of a long story. We actually got in touch with one of my dad's. My dad's originally from Colombia, South America, and we got in touch with one of his nephews from over there. That'd be my cousin, but from a different marriage. So we got in touch with him, and he actually came to the States. It was actually fraud when we first found the way we actually got in touch with anything to do with Colombia. He came here and he basically kind of ripped a bunch of people off. But in the process, he actually scheduled a trip to go down there, and you know, we went and visited a bunch of different orphanages and stuff, and kind of find out like he was making promises that he wasn't keeping with these people. In the process, we came across this orphanage in Pereira. They actually had one in Medellin as well, and they were falling behind in funds, and if they didn't get any funding, they were going to have to shut down. And like I said, without receiving any funding from the government will shut you down, but then they won't give these children anywhere to live. So basically, right, the 80 children that we had would have been just left to be out on the streets fending for themselves. So whenever we were down there, that was the situation, and we couldn't let that happen. And ever since then, it's I'll go hungry sometimes making sure that they can eat.
And Jeremy, if I can just ask you another question. With dealing with this orphanage and the proceeds from the events that you do, like the seminars and training, like you're going to be at Monsters, which, by the way, is just, to me, is incredible. Monsters is probably one of the best training facilities that I know of right now with the people there. You know, they're just phenomenal.
Yeah, Solomon's actually really cool.
Yeah, he's good people. He's good people, him and Manuel.
Yeah.
But are you located just to the Miami area, or do you do seminars elsewhere? So, I mean, and every time you do seminars, are you doing a proceed or a certain amount that goes to this orphanage? Like,
until February, I will be traveling around. I will be traveling around. I plan to. I've got a gym that I know. I'm gonna be doing a seminar here soon. I believe the end of January in Tennessee, and then I'm looking to book a couple out in California with my connections out there. So I'm trying to travel around more and raise awareness. Maybe get, you know, it's kind of getting out of hand as far as like times are tough and I haven't fought in a while. So I need a little help helping people out.
Gotcha.
Nice.
Well,
very cool. Thank you. It was nice talking to you, Jeremy. Thank you, Roman.
Yes.
Thank
here.
You so
thank
much.
You for calling.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, we got another call here. Caller, you're on the Roman Show. May I have your name first? Caller.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Welcome to the Roman Show. You have a question for Jeremy May?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm helping along with the benefit as well with a T-shirt company that I have.
Joey? Yeah. How's it going, man?
Sure. Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for helping out.
So tell me how you're helping this out with Jeremy May's efforts here.
It was short notice. I guess yesterday maybe I got a phone call from Sal and he just said I just started a T-shirt company. I train at Imperial in Boca Raton, and had a knee injury last. I guess about a month and a half, and all this free time on my hand, started putting these designs together, and they've taken a pretty big hit. It's obviously a Miami-based company, a lot of designs around like old Miami, nice bright colors, and so we figured that we'd bring them there, see what we could sell. You know, we're going to drop the prices substantially, and basically, any profit that comes from the T-shirts, whether we sell one shirt or 1,000 shirts, you know, everything goes towards him and what he's trying to do.
And where can people find out about these T-shirts? What website can they visit?
Website's www.msfgear.com. And, you can purchase everything on there. I'll go ahead and give the number for the office.
Right.
It's 864-320-7277. Any orders that I get over the phone, because obviously it's such short notice, I haven't been able to change anything on the website, but any orders over the phone, just mention, you know, the benefit itself, and we'll do the same deal. I'll give the same price. We're doing all the shirts at $20, and they're high quality shirts. I mean, everybody go on the website, check it out. I think everybody would be pretty impressed.
Great. And here Solomon is telling me that you're an ex hockey player.
Yeah, I got lack of teeth to prove it. Yep.
Wow. And for the Florida Panthers.
Well, when I was 19, when I graduated high school, I took about a year off. I was invited down here and tried out with I was the only undrafted player. Nobody really knew me except for the trainers and the coaches. Came down here when I was 19, undrafted, and they ended up sending me to Greenville, South Carolina. The hockey world is tough. I mean, you get traded. If you're not number one prospect, you know, you get traded every month and a half, 2 months. I mean, they minimum money, and you're moving around all the time. So with that, I did it. You know, I made my couple $100 a week as a kid, and I was living the life, I guess. Had a bunch of injuries, and took a few years off, and found my way down here to South Florida, and trying to keep up with these guys in the gym.
Great. Well, wonderful. One more time, what's the website again where people can purchase these T-shirts that will help out that orphanage over there in Columbia that Jeremy May is helping out?
It's mscgear.com, and the phone number is 864-320-7277.
Well, thank you so very much for calling in, sir. And Jeremy, let me let the people know here that it's this Sunday from noon to 2 p.m. It's $40 at Monsters Training Center, 4190 Southwest 74th Court. That's in Miami, Florida. If you can't be there present, or if you don't live in Miami, head on over to meetmeinthecage.com and go ahead and help these children over there at Colombian Orphanage, where Jeremy May is helping them out, trying to fix that roof and trying to fix the building itself. Jeremy, a pleasure here, and you're always welcome here on the show. We'll talk a little bit about the fight game next time around, but good luck come this Sunday, and help these kids out, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you.
All right,
well, Guillermo, with that being said, we got a minute and 56 seconds left. Great show today. We broke the record as far as guests. But, Guillermo, we'll see you this Saturday at CFA4.
Yep, and don't miss Strike Force either. Remember that.
Yeah.
Against Gilbert Melendez.
We're going to be working a double duty come this Saturday, as we have Jorge Masvidal and Gilbert Melendez. With that being said, guys, good night. Keep it tuned here, RodolphoRoman.com, if you missed the show. We'll see you next Monday for the wrestling show at 10 p.m. Good night, guys. We'll see you then.
We're going to skate to one song only. This is
First nigga gotta find me. What's 50 grand to a motherfucker like me? Can you please remind me? Ball so hard, this shit crazy. Y'all don't know this, don't shit fade. And as we go, 0 for 82 when I look at you like this shit crazy. Ball so hard, this shit weird. We ain't even supposed to be here. Ball so hard, this we here. It's only right that we be fair. Psycho, I'm libo, to go Michael. Take your pick, Jackson, Tyson, Jordan, Game 6. Ball so hard, got a broke clock. Rollies that don't tick tock. All the Mars that's losing time, hitting behind all these big rocks. What's also hot? I'm shocked too. I'm supposed to be locked up too. You escape, but I escape. You be in Paris getting fucked up too. What's also hot? Let's get faded. Live with each for like 6 days. Gold bottles, gold models. Spilling ace on my 6 days. What's also hot?